It is the 22nd of June. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. My name is Ryan Pinder. It is brought to you by our good friends at Wild Rose Brewery. Proudly brewing their beer right here in Calgary. You can visit their tap room and restaurant in the Currie Barracks or find your favorite Wild Rose beer at bars and liquor stores around the province. Game four tonight, Stanley Cup Finals. Avs dominant in games one and two. Okay, I mean, squeaky in game one. They just get out of there. But very good in game two, clearly. And last night, Tampa remains sterling on home ice. Now 8-1 at Amalie Arena. It's a 2-1 series, and tonight feels like a massive swing game in the series. For more on that, we go right to the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcome in Connor McGahey, the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche. Sir, on a game day, thank you for your time. How are you?
Anything for you, Ryan. I am well. How are you?
Well, I mean, geez, we go back so far. I knew the answer.
The beginning of time.
How have you been? How's the series been? How's the weather in Tampa? Make us all jealous.
You will not be jealous of how hot and muggy it is. We enjoy in the Rocky Mountains, both Canadian and American, we enjoy pretty mild summers. But it's not bad here. It's an honor to be here for the Cup Final. And the series has been good. Each team has showed glimpses of what they're made of offensively and defensively. Mm-hmm. And Tampa, as you mentioned, very good on home ice, not so much away from home ice. Entering that game number two, overall goal differential, Colorado plus 33, and Tampa Bay just at a plus three, which is yeah. fascinating. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not Colorado. Yeah, exactly. I mean, which team has the best net minor in the National Hockey League? But that just shows that the Avalanche defensively overall are better. They weren't in game three. They just weren't.
Yeah.
Didn't matter who was in between the pipes. And they know that. Jared Bednar said, hey, we know what to fix, and we will fix it. And I expect that to be the case tonight for game four.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we'll see a much more competitive game four. And look, this is a huge, huge game. If it is 3-1 Avs going back to that madhouse at Ball Arena with all the fans outside and it sounds like something that's, you know, taken over Denver like a plague. That's going to be something. Whereas 2-2, that's an entirely different vibe. And, there's nerves when a series gets to that point. And to be fair, there might not really have been a lot of nerves for Avs fans since, what, game five against St. Louis when they dropped that one late?
Yeah, but at the same time, whether they lose game two at home versus the Blues. It's tied 1-1 going to St. Louis. They're able to win both there, and you're right, with a chance to clinch the series. They drop a tough game at home in game five. They came back, and they beat the Blues in St. Louis the next game. So, I mean, for Avalanche fans, I keep saying, I said, look, this is only the third game in the Stanley Cup playoffs that they've lost. Now, the third, this is, like, it's okay. It doesn't. You don't sweep every series. It doesn't happen, and especially doesn't happen against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. The team knows that. I just have to remind fans once in a while that that's the case, too. But even if it is 2-2, going back home, you know that you have home ice advantage, and that if you're not able to steal one here tonight, you have another opportunity to do so. So I just think that there's no panic in the room, which is the only important place. People can panic all they want outside, but I don't think, even if, like I said, if it is 2-2 tonight, there should be no need for that if you're the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. It's just, to your point, it's been almost too easy. There have not been nearly as sweaty palms in Colorado as there has been in Tampa along the way when they were down 3-2 to Toronto, when they were down 2-0 coming back from New York. And you're right, like, it's, you take it for granted, there's not a lot of 14-3 stretches in any season, even for teams that win the President's Trophy. That's where they're at in the postseason. That's wild.
Yeah, it is wild. I mean, if they're able to win two of the next three games, I mean, they're joining some elite company in the annals of the National Hockey League. Again, they don't care about that. They keep saying job's not done. So that's why I've said all along, Ryan, that this is the most focus that I've seen this group ever. Nothing good or bad. as far as outside noise gets into that room. And that's why I think that they're prepared for any situation, a win or a loss, after tonight, to go back to Denver and either try and fight to win the Cup there or do it in Game 6 coming up on Sunday. So I've used the term laser focused as a nice hockey cliche multiple occasions for this team, but it is the most accurate descriptor.
Okay, so then walk us back, because it was, I guess when we look back at it, I felt like the coming out party for this team was when they won their first series with this core, I'll call it, and that was here in Calgary, a game five. They lost game one and then won four straight, the old gentleman sweep over the Flames in 2019. They were an 8 seed, a wild card, and all of a sudden it was like, oh my goodness, they're playing at a pace here that caught everyone by surprise. McKinnon is a full-on superstar. They might have, some young punk defender that could turn into a Hall of Famer here that showed up halfway through that series. So when you talk about the resolve and the steely nature, the laser focus, what's been the evolution since that second round in 2019, then falling to the Stars in the bubble, and then Vegas last year? Like, where have you seen, steely eyes now where there might have been speed wobbles before?
Well, and I think the growth, Ryan, goes even the most growth was done after the second round exit to Vegas last year. I mean, they started to learn some lessons in the second round versus San Jose in 2019. And then you go to the bubble. It's a game seven in overtime versus the Dallas Stars. At that point, they didn't have six starters, including both of their goaltenders. Michael Hutchinson is the third string option.
That's right.
Who's there. And look, even when you're that shorthanded, they had a chance to go to the Western Conference Final at that point. Dallas ends up going to the Cup Final and losing to Tampa Bay. But at that point, you said, okay, we were down. We didn't have the luck that we needed, so we'll just come back and be better next year. And they were. I mean, in 2021, they win the President's Trophy, and they were dominant inside of that 56-game schedule in the Western Division. And they get to the series versus Vegas. They're up 2-0. They win the first two games on home ice, and then the bottom fell out. And I have said this on numerous occasions. That series has done more for the maturity and the resolve and the short memory ability of this team to let bad shifts go, to let bad periods go, to let bad games go, and bounce back and treat it like a new day. That's sort of following the personality of all the leaders, and especially Jared Bednar, because hands are on the wheel, 10-2. He's never too high. He's never too low. And I think that benefits a team in the long run, because they know that it's never the end of the world. You can come back from anything. And I think especially after that series last year, when they lose four straight and just completely lost their game, that's important to them, to know that they have the horses, as you mentioned, to really run any race in any time span. So, again, I've just seen leaps and bounds of the maturity of this group from Game 6 versus Vegas last year to now.
And was it Game 6 last year against the Vegas Golden Knights where we had that the rather well-circulated post-game,
yeah,
Nathan McKinnon, where he says, we
yeah
haven't accomplished bleep,
yep,
and there's, like, you could see how,
yep,
that was incredibly raw, and it just feels like, we haven't been around it, but we've heard this is a much more relaxed and zen McKinnon, as much as there can be one, I suppose.
Yeah, and I, when you're talking about maturity and growth, I think you're talking about Nathan McKinnon more than anybody else,
yeah,
because I think he can still apply pressure to himself and everybody else, but he can do it in a way that is more leadership-like. And when you have the work ethic like you have, now, I believe it was Chris Johnston who said this in a tweet yesterday. Nathan McKinnon stayed after on an optional off-day practice, and he's doing his shooting drill inside the near circle, and he's trying to place every single wrist shot. And nobody works harder. Nobody wants to be better than Nathan McKinnon. And instead of expecting everybody to be at his skill level before, I think it's changed to expecting everybody to want it as much as he does. And I just think that that is a powerful thing to go around the locker room. And that press conference from game six last year, and, you know, I was in Vegas and we got to watch that. It was one of those things that say, wow, if that doesn't provide fuel for wanting to be a champion for one of the world's greatest players, I don't know what will. And frankly, it's been rocket fuel this year, not just for him, but for everybody around him.
No question. And they still had a tricky offseason. I felt like last year was still their best financial chance to win the Cup. They had to make a decision, okay, yeah, on Grubauer, on clearly Landeskog, their captain. I mean, we forget now that their longtime captain and the guy that's synonymous with that logo and scoring opening goals, like, he was hours from free agency. That was not an easy negotiation. And they did say goodbye to their number one, who happened to have an awful year, but who had a really good year last year. He was a Vezina finalist. They let him go.
Yeah. I mean, Gabe Landeskog was, I think it was 18 minutes away from being a free agent. And, I mean, talk about the 11th hour. He wanted the eighth year, and Colorado wanted to do seven, but because of what he's done, where he's been, they gave him that eighth year on his contract. He was able to stay. But give Joe Sakic, Chris McFarland a lot of credit, because when Philip Grubauer decides to take that pretty much 6x6 year deal in Seattle, because he may not get another opportunity to make that kind of money, they went out and pivoted and did what they needed to do, and they looked at the rest of their squad and said, okay, we're inside of these guardrails now that we have Mikko Rantanen locked up, we have Kale McCarr signed to a deal, Landeskog. What type of players can we get to complement superstars like that? And they've done a wonderful job, not just in the offseason with the signing of Darren Helm, who you may think, okay, well, okay, great. Is that a replacement for Pierre-Édouard Bellemare? Maybe. And he's just been a monster in the Stanley Cup playoffs especially. But then the trade deadline, and this is part of the reason that Joe Sakic is a Jim Gregory Award finalist. Manson, Cogliano, Arturi Lekkonen, and we'll just throw Helm into that category, have contributed more really than anybody would expect. I mean, each of them has at least one game winner in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And in Darren Helm's case, along with Arturi Lekkonen, both of those game winners clinched the series. And they've been monster parts of this Avalanche club because, and you wouldn't think of it, then that's why I give the pro scouting staff a lot of credit, because they fill these holes with players that you wouldn't think would be able to fill holes, especially with a superstar team. And it's turned out to be almost a perfect roster for Joe Sakic. Now, if we get two more wins, then I will say that. But at this point in time, you're right. Inside some financial constraints, and it's going to get a little bit more, tough in the next year and a half with Nathan MacKinnon needing a new deal. But at the time, and right now, Joe Sakic has done a marvelous job.
No question. Okay, to the series at hand, what would we call it? The near term rather than the big picture. Tell us about the statuses of Nazem Kadri and Andrei Burakovsky in terms of what you're expecting, or I guess is this the great silent upper, lower, inner, outer body injury time of year?
It is that, no doubt. Burakovsky, the plan was to have him come to Tampa. Jared Bednar said yesterday that he stayed back in Denver and is skating there, so we won't expect him. Nazem Kadri joined the group for the first time yesterday. Wrist shots, yes. Slap shots and face-offs, no. So I would expect that as your second-line center and top power play specialist that he wouldn't go tonight. I mean, the Avalanche are about to get on the ice for skate here. I could be surprised, but the face-offs and the slap shot one-timers especially was a sign for me that he may not just be ready yet. Now, a week ago, I would not have thought that he would have even joined the group the way that he has. So, I mean, who knows? Everyone makes strides in their own way. But we'll see what happens with morning skates, and we just have to wait for warm-ups, is usually the case in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No question. I wonder about the confidence level in Darcy Kuemper, and maybe it's not anything to do with Kuemper and more so to do with the Avs are so good. I think most of us believe they just need solid goaltending to win this series. You do not need Vezina stuff, but it was a rough go for him, and I really was quite impressed with some of the play of Pavel Francouz in the Edmonton series. Is this a luxury of having two guys you like, or is it just, hey, anyone who can give us solid is going to be our guy?
Yeah, and like I said, the goaltending conversation is just one that's had by all of us on the outside. I don't think they give two rips on the inside of that locker room who's in between the pipes, because coming into that game, Pavel Francouz was 6-0. He was undefeated, obviously played that entire Edmonton series in the Western Conference Final, came in the latter half of the Nashville series as well to help out after Darcy Kuemper took literally a stick in the eye. So, I don't pin all of that in Game 3 on Darcy Kuemper. Defensively, the Avalanche were not as good as Game number 2. And so, as they've always said, we win as a team, we lose as a team, and most importantly, we defend as a team. And we talked about team construction. This team is built to defend, and mainly defend, with puck possession. And the Avalanche didn't do the little things right, didn't check very well at all to get that puck off of Tampa's stick and onto their own. So, again, they're not built to need a Vezina finalist to bail them out all the time. And they just didn't play to their identity in game number 3. Again, they will fix that. And so it doesn't matter if Francouz or Darcy Kuemper will start tonight in game 4.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, it matters a ton for Tampa. I think there's a bit of a skill deficit, as weird as that is to say about a team that's a series win away from the first dynasty of a cap era, practically. One for you, and this will be my last one for you because you've been real kind with your time. Nathan MacKinnon has been absolutely peppering the net. He has not scored yet. He hasn't been prominent on the score sheet, but I think he's been real good. Do you feel like tonight's the night, or is it just having to be one of these nights? Who knows which one? Because, what was he, 6 shots? It's not like he's not being noticed. He's just, he can't buy one right now. This is posts and out, not posts and in.
Right, without a doubt. And he went 4 games without a goal earlier in this postseason. And then again, in game 5 of the St. Louis series, he scored a hat trick, including one of the best goals that you'll see in a long time. So MacKinnon is due for a game, and I think we're not putting too much pressure on his shoulders. He knows that, and it could definitely be his night tonight. But it's not that he's been completely absent or not trying. I mean, he led all Avs shots on goals in game number 3, I believe. So when it comes to goal scorers, sometimes you just know that they're due, and I get the feeling that Nathan MacKinnon is about to creep around the corner in that regard.
I'm sure it was a good answer, but I was too busy putting $5 down on 14-1 first goal scorer Nathan MacKinnon to hear it, Connor. Thank you for your time, and I hope it's a great one tonight. We've enjoyed your calls here.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it very much. Good to talk to you
again. All right, you have a great day. There's Connor McGahey, the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche. All things Avs as we look ahead to game 4 tonight. We will still see what the lineups have to do at morning skate today. I think everyone's spidey senses are probably leaning the right way, which is, you know, John Cooper suggested no lineup changes this morning in meetings with media. If Burakovsky's skating in Denver, it's going to be a real tall task for him to play tonight. And in Tampa, that would not be the way you'd want to do it if he's ready to go. And Kadri, I think you lean to the guy who knows that team better than anyone. That's McGahey. He's not shooting slap shots, and he's a face-off guy. Doesn't take face-offs. We'll see. They also have the luxury of a 2-1 series lead. They're not down 0-3. They don't have to go to full desperation mode in terms of roster construction. We got the game at 6 o'clock tonight. And yeah, it's two trends that we'll see which one survives. I believe the Avalanche have just a single loss on the road this postseason. They were perfect before the Stanley Cup final. Really, really tidy. 14-3 overall in the playoffs, but only one of those losses coming on the road. And Tampa Bay, meanwhile, one every single home game they've had in the playoffs after losing their first against Toronto in game three of that opening round matchup. Both teams, just one loss in this scenario I've laid out. Someone will get their second tonight, and that's going to swing the series heavily in one direction. Here's what's coming up on the station today. We're half an hour away from the Jeff Merrick Show. Lots on tonight's game, lots on the coaching carousel, and, of course, the awards from last night in Tampa rather than Vegas with the weirdly constructed season, the Olympic break, pandemic stuff, Vegas, all that. That'll be broached. And, yes, of course, tonight's game. They'll be all over it on the big show as well at noon. Flames talk will be hockey talk today, as well as the football unnamed show, Thingamabobber, that, all that, 3 to 6. And at that point, we'll take you down to the Amalie Arena in Tampa for, well, what proves to be a pretty epic game. You want a 3-1 lead going home? You want to come out of a 0-2 hole with the series squared off? That's what's going to happen to one of these teams tonight. It is Sportsnet Today. My name is Ryan Pinder. It's brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery. They're proudly brewing their beer right here in Calgary. Check them out at their tap room and restaurant in the Currie Barracks, or you can just look for your favorite Wild Rose beers at bars and liquor stores around the province. We're coming back with more on Game 4. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Sportsnet Today rolls on. Game day. Game 4 tonight. Avs and Bolts. Who said this was a matchup of teams with no S's in their names? Huh?
You found it.
Avs, Bolts.
In their nicknames.
Stanley Cup Final. Should be good. Can't wait. Can't wait. Okay. Sportsnet Today for Wild Rose Brewery. Always love deliveries of cold, bubbly, tasty things. Wild Rose Brewery located in the Currie Barracks with their taproom and restaurant. Also, you just find them at liquor stores and bars around the province. That's easy, right? Sweet. Lots of talk of Game 4, and why not? That's the story of the day today. Blue Jays will wrap up their series with the Chicago White Sox today as well. Really quickly, we will not carry that game for you. You can go see who the program director is. Don't moan to me. Like, I don't make these decisions. I don't know what's better. I don't know who drates more. Not my job. Don't ask me. Noon on Sportsnet West if you want it. Obviously, the Sportsnet Now app. You can get your Jays fix there as well. As for the game tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be all over it all day, including Jeff Merrick, in about 24 minutes when I say see ya. And we'll be off for the day. What can I tell you about the Avalanche and their defense core? Not as much as Eric Johnson and Devon Taves. Take it away, fellas. They met with the media yesterday.
John Cooper last night, I think, he expressed some frustration on the play with Kucherov. Can you just walk through what you saw on that play and what you were trying to do and what happened?
Yeah, just he's a good player. I'm trying to play him tight. You know, good players, you got to try to take away their time and space, and that's what I was trying to do. If you got hurt on it, it's unfortunate. I'm not trying to hurt anyone out here. But, you know, I'm just trying to play him tight and, you know, not let him have the time and space to make plays.
Front right.
Eric.
You've been with Nathan MacKinnon from the start, and he's made a big impact from the start. How have you seen him grow as a teammate during that time?
A lot, Mark, actually. I'm sure as media you guys have seen it in different ways as well, as a teammate and a friend. I think he always had all the physical abilities to be one of the best players in the league, which he is. And I think, you know, sometimes guys mature a little bit later on the mental side of it. And I think it just took him a couple of years just to put everything together. And now that he has, he's developed into a big time leader for us vocally, off the ice, on the ice. So I've seen just a ton of growth in him. I'm proud of him. I know he's put in a lot of work to make himself a better player in person. So it's been fun to watch over the last 10 years now almost. No, I think he's still hard on himself and others. I think that's part of what makes him so good. So, you know, he has that competitive fire, and that doesn't go away. So if it went away and he wasn't doing that, I'd be worried about him. So it's something that makes him who he is. And I think guys who are new to him need to learn to deal with it, because it can come off a little rough. But when you know him, it's something that just makes him tick.
Front left.
Devon, obviously you guys win the first two games. You guys really liked the way you played. It's easy to stay positive after that. But it seemed like after last night's game, everyone was in pretty good spirits, felt really good about still the direction of the team. One, how did you see the game last night and just kind of what is the mindset around the team right now?
Yeah, I think we just believe in each other. We believe in what we've, you know, what's gotten us to this point in the process that we're, you know, on still to try to win the cup. And we didn't feel like we played a terrible game last night. I think some unfortunate breaks went their way. And, you know, anytime we made a mistake, it ended up in the back of our net. And some nights it's going to be like that. And some nights you're going to, you know, get fortunate with those. And last night we didn't get as fortunate. And, you know, we created enough to score enough goals to win that hockey game last night. And we just didn't bury enough. And everything kind of ended up in the back of our net.
Left side, third row.
For Eric, what's the opportunity here to come away with a split, and how important is it to stay in the driver's seat here?
Yeah, I think if you look at it, we are still in the driver's seat. It's up 2-1 for us, and you know, we knew coming in here that it would be tough to win both games. I think the way they played at home and the way they responded after a lot of losses in the playoffs, we knew that they were going to come with their best game. And listen, I mean, it could have been 2-3-0 for us, that little offsides, just a couple inches, and then Confer miss an open net, and we had the power play goal. So we felt good about, you know, we could have come out of that period sitting pretty good. Sometimes things go the other way, and credit to them, they took advantage of all their opportunities. They cashed in on all their chances for the most part, and, you know, they played a really solid hockey game. And for us, to get the split would be, we'd be sitting pretty good. We'd be happy with it.
We'll stay on the left side there.
Devon, obviously Andrei Vasilevskiy's built quite a reputation for himself. What are the challenges of going up against a guy like him?
Yeah, we just got to keep peppering him. And, you know, we feel like we put enough chances on him that we'll get our opportunities to score. And we feel like we're getting into good areas to score right now. And he is a big goalie. He's very athletic. And, you know, it's why he's one of the best in the world right now. And it's a challenge every night to try to get pucks past him, and, you know, we just got to hit our targets.
Front left.
Yeah, Devon, Jared mentioned that he thought, especially on the pass, I think on their second goal that you made to McCarr, that the ice might have been the problem. Was the ice at all an issue last night for you guys?
Yes and no. I mean, we didn't think it was, you know, the best ice we played on, but at the same time, you know, they're playing on the same ice as we are. So then it just comes down to execution on our part.
Front right.
Hey, Eric, you skated today with Kadri. It seems like he's doing more and more. Just overall thoughts on his progression possibly here?
Yeah, I think just like you said, you've seen every day he's kind of done a little bit extra, improved. I'd expect him to be a definite possibility in the next couple of games.
We'll do one more question on the right side.
This one's for either of you. How have you seen Darcy Kuemper handle some adversity throughout this postseason run?
Yeah, I think as a goalie, that won't be the last time he'll get pulled. He's been pulled before. Goalies get pulled all the time. They respond well. Darcy's been pulled in the regular season before. He's responded great. It's just like a player. You're going to make a mistake. It won't be the last mistake you ever make. It's a game of mistakes, and I think with Darcy, he's responded every time he's been pulled. I think it was probably more Bedzy wanted to give us a little bit of a jump start by pulling him and putting Frankie in, but regardless of who plays, like you've seen all playoffs, both guys have stepped up in the situations that they've been asked to, and whoever's in the net, we're confident in, but I expect Darcy to bounce back like he always has from those situations.
All right, they're the Avs decor. Let's talk about tonight, maturity, getting the job done here. Let's switch sides. Sergachev and Killorn met with the media as well. The Russian defenseman, the collegiate forward. All right, let's go.
Alex, I wonder if you could just kind of talk to the depth that this team has. I know we talk about it a lot, but you've been without Braden Point for a good portion of the playoffs. I know it's probably killing you that you haven't shown up on the score sheet yet, but yet you keep finding ways to get, you know, there's so many guys with 5-plus goals so far through this playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's a really deep group. I mean, all throughout the lineup, I think, you know, guys like Corey Perry, Ross Colton, there's a lot of guys that have chipped in. defensively. It's just a real complete lineup. And like you said, we don't have Pointer, who, you know, typically would be one of our highest goal scorers. So other guys are filling in for him, and that's just what you have to do in a playoff run. So I think we've done a good job in that.
On the left side, Ken.
Alex, you've seen tons of highlight reel saves, but given the circumstances last night, when he makes that save on Compher, what does it do for your group?
It's huge in that moment. I forget what the score of the game was when that play happened, but it's almost one of those plays where you think, you know, it just lands on his stick and it's almost a guaranteed goal. So momentum-wise, it's huge for us to get back into the game. I think that's one of the things with Vasi. He's able to make those saves that they're almost seem to be goals, and he kind of, you know, does such a good job saving them. But momentum-wise, that helps us out a ton. Not going down in that moment is huge.
On the left side, Mike.
One of those guys that's chipped in for you is Nick Paul. I'm wondering what you knew about him playing against him when he was with the Sens. And does he remind you of any of the three third-line guys, whether it's Barkley, Goodrow, or someone else, that you guys lost in the offseason?
Yeah, so from playing Ottawa, I knew he was a big body, killed penalties, really strong on the puck. You know, when he gets down there, he could almost fight off, it seems like, three guys at certain times. So he's been really effective for us, and I think when you look at some of the goals he scored, those obviously two goals against Toronto in Game 7 are so huge. Last night he has a huge goal after coming back from, you know, getting a little bit banged up. In terms of who he compares to, I think he's very different than all those guys. I wouldn't compare him to any of them, but He does kind of play the same role that they play, in the sense that he's really good defensively. He's just a little bit bigger and stronger than those guys were, and he could protect the puck a little bit better.
On the left side, Sergei.
For Mikhail, please. I'm curious, as a defenseman going up against him in practice from time to time, what is it about Andre Palat's game that maybe is difficult to defend against for opposition?
He's tenacious, you know. He always wants to out-battle you, you know. He never gives up, and that's tough sometimes because you battle him, you think you get the puck, and he's always there. He never goes away. He's like a pest out there. So that's the way he's playing, and he's always playing that way. So that's why he's kind of annoying to play against because of that.
Front left.
Alex, what has Corey Perry brought to the team this year, and do you get the sense that maybe he's been a little haunted by coming so close to the Cup final and falling short these last couple years?
I think anyone in that position would be a little haunted. I know for him, he's had such a great career, you know, to be as close as he's been in the past three years and not get the ultimate goal is something that, as a team, you know, we obviously want to win, but for him, it's important for us to win in that sense as well. He brings a lot leadership-wise, a guy who's seen a lot in this league, done a lot in this league, definitely a voice in the locker room. But yeah, he's been huge for us, whether it's on the power play or just in any game situations. He could be on the fourth line, he could be on the second line, he can go throughout the lineup, but he's a huge add for us, not just on the ice, but off the ice as well.
We'll do one more question back left again.
Mikhail, just going back to Andrei Vasilevskiy, what does it mean to have a guy with such mental toughness, and what does that mean to your group, knowing that you have, you know, conceivably the best goalie?
You're locked on Boomer in the Morning, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We can learn a lot from him, you know, from his mental toughness. He's always there. You know, it's not like he's taking a night off or something. He's always there. He's always making those crazy saves, and, you know, sometimes we play bad for him, you know. But we're trying to be like him. You know, we're trying to show up every night and play hard, and, you know, so he's happy. We're trying to keep him happy. So, but really, he's the toughest, mentally toughest guy I've ever been around.
Okay, there we go. The pretty cool. Boomer in the Morning got a shout out during the press conference. Wouldn't you say, boys? That was amazing. I didn't like.
Throwing
I knew the show
plugs
was
plugs everywhere.
I know the show was big, but like, whoa! It's Stanley Cup final tonight, Game 4. You got two members of the Bullets on stage, and right there, Boomer in the Morning.
primetime promotion.
Wow.
Big voice guy.
Yeah, no, I know that we flew him in there just to say
right
that.
Into the Tampa media room.
I just wish they'd let him have his own time. He had to kind of like get in there and talk over the guy asking the question.
Boomer in the morning. What?
Yeah. Like, do we have that guy? Is he here now? Could he hype up that morning show again? Can we get him to say exactly what he said in Tampa right now? Can we do that? Is that too hard?
You're listening to Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I mean, kind of. It's Sportsnet Today with Ryan Pinder. That's me. There's Patty Dumas and GVP in the other room. Boys, do we have any vibes for tonight? It's what? Either 3-1 Avs heading home, and they will be 15-3. In the postseason, or we've got a best of three to sort this thing out all square, and two of the three games are in Denver. We'll start with Dumas.
You can never take a sense from game to game throughout this entire postseason. It's been crazy offense, not a lot of defense on both ends. I don't know. I think now you're maybe going to start seeing these guys starting to get more of a defensive mind, get to that more traditional playoff style. But again, this is game four of the Stanley Cup Final. Why are they going to start now? So who knows, man? Like, Colorado wins this one, it's over.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too. Yeah. They've been too dominant. If it was the other way, like, I thought that Colorado was the better team, but somehow Tampa had snuck out of lead. Like, let's say they score the overtime winner in game one, right?
Yeah.
I thought they were outplayed, but, you know, they somehow squeaked that out with Vasilevsky, and then they win that one at home. I'd be like, okay, well, it's not over. Like, but, like, a 3-1 lead for Tampa, not over. I do feel like it kind of is with Colorado. GVP?
I mean, I think I'm going to take the Lightning in this game. How many times have we counted the Lightning out in this postseason? We thought that Toronto was giving them a hard time. They're able to get through that. They went on to Florida, and we're like, oh, Florida is going to be a tough test. They're able to just walk right through those guys. The Rangers were able to get up 2-0, and Colorado's been able to do the same, but you can never count out Tampa, in my opinion. So I think they'll be able to make this series pretty tight.
I have not counted out Tampa once. I am closing in on our playoff pool. I've picked them the whole way through, and threw down some money when they lost game one of the Rangers. I've got Kucherov, Stamkos, Vasilevsky on the old playoff pool. Let's go. LFG, boys. Although, yeah, I got a bunch of Colorado guys too. I'm happy. We're in the money, boys.
We just want to get this to seven.
You know the worst thing you can do in a playoff hockey pool? Is be the treasurer, because everyone gives you the money. And then when it's time to pay out, if you actually win, you're like, well, that money was already in my account. I just saw it right there. I mean, damn it. Why couldn't someone else have held this money? But we'll take it rather than, I guess, paying out more other people. We'll just keep some in, on our own. That sounds a lot less exciting, doesn't it? Okay, so Jeff Merrick show coming up. Big show. Unnamed Football Hour, Flames Talk, right into pre...
Matty Rose wants to call it horsing around, but Pat doesn't like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds exactly like how that conversation would go. Yeah. Elliot Friedman will join Merrick in, let's call it 10 minutes time. Mike Rupp of the NHL Network. Rupp. It's nice. It's fun to say Rupp. Greg Wyshynski, Wish, from ESPN. And Dan Bylsma, who's announced yesterday as the head coach of the...
What a name.
Coachella Valley Firebirds. That sounds like a car collecting club, doesn't it?
It really looks like a fire chicken logo, too.
Yeah. Hey, I'll go. That'll be fun. You just go to the rink to cool off in Palm Springs.
Palm Desert.
Yeah. How about that? That doesn't suck.
Woo.
Boys, thank you for your work today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have a game four to react to, and we'll know if the series is over or still going, if at least you guys believe us. Or you believe GVP, it's never over. Not over till someone hoists that thing. Flames Talk. And Sportsnet Today brought to you by our good friends at Wild Rose Brewery. Proudly brewing the beer right here in Calgary. Go say hello at their tap room and restaurant in the Currie Barracks.